السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل لهم اتقوا ما بين أيديكم وما خلفكم لعلكم ترحمون. ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين. ما ينظرون إلا صيحة واحدة تأخذهم وهم يخصمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters listening over the receivers, I have recited two different ayats from Surah Yasin Sharif. Some time back I recall in the majlis, I think I discussed these ayats. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam informed us that the heart of the Quran Sharif is Surah Yasin. Many times I have mentioned that this surah, it is not only for recitation over the dead. It is not only for recitation at the time of Sakrat. It is not only for recitation when a person is in difficulties and problems. Indeed, if a person reads it with the barakat of this surah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala removes difficulties, Allah ta'ala makes sakrat easy, Allah ta'ala forgives the deceased. But it was not revealed just to be recited over those who are about to depart from this world. This surah is for us, the living ones. And it is the heart of the Quran Sharif, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he expressed his personal wish and desire that this surah be in the heart of every believer. It was his wish and it was his desire. And that famous hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which I have quoted many times, man qara'a yasin fi sadrin nahar qudiyat hawaijuhu, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that the person who recites Surah Yasin in the early part of the morning, the beginning of the day, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fulfill his needs. In other words, Allah ta'ala will make it easy for him to have his needs of the day fulfilled. If he's got business, Allah ta'ala will give him barakat in that business for that day. Other needs and requirements of man, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make it easy for him to fulfill if he reads this surah and then leaves home. But once again, we have to remember that it is not only the recitation of Surah Yasin that will do everything. Just the khatam of Surah Yasin Sharif will not solve the world's problems and will not even solve our problem. It has to go as a package that we have to restrain ourselves from haram. We have to be obedient to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then after that, if we read it, then we'll get the benefits. Because no sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever understood these hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to mean that you must have some wazifa kitab. In the morning you read this, afternoon you read this, in the evening you read that, and after that continue in whichever way of life you wish to. You can frequent the cinemas and theaters and casinos and discos, and you can engage and indulge in all kinds of haram activities. You can have illicit relationship, but you read Surah Yasin in the morning, so all problems will be solved. Nobody understood it as that. Nevertheless, this is one ayat which I wish to discuss, which came into my mind just a little while ago before the Jummah Salat, before the coming to the masjid, in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُؤْرِذِينَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala talks about the kuffar. But we must remember that the ayats of the Quran Sharif, which were revealed for the kuffar or for the mushrikeen or for the Yahud and the Nasara, the weakness of these people, whichever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala refers to in different ayats of the Quran Sharif, then they are lessons in there for us, the believers. In fact, we should take more heed. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that when they are told, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّقُوا, that fear, when these kuffar are told, اتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ, that which is in front of you and that which is coming behind you. In other words, fear that azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which can come in this world, in front of you here means in this world, that all the different nations of the past, the nations of the past, how azab came upon them, in the same way that azab can come upon you also for rejection, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions many ayat of His, many of His signs before this, the heavens and the earth, the sun and the moon, the alternation of night and day, the growing of the crops from the earth, the plying of the ships on the oceans, many other ayat Allah Ta'ala has mentioned. That all these ayat, all these signs, pay heed to our advices and believe in me, obey me, I will give you ni'mats in this world and in the akhirat, and if you disobey, then I can send down the azab in this world too, and in the hereafter it is definite and most certain. So when they are told this, I'm giving you an explanation, then what do they say? When they are told, fear that, then they turn away. They make a'raz. وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُؤْرِدِينَ. No ayat or no sign from the signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala comes before them, but that they turn away. They reject it. They do not want to accept it. They do not want to believe in it. They find all kinds of excuses. And then immediately after that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that besides the rejection of that azab, which is a possibility in this world and also in the hereafter, it is most certain, when they are told, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ قال الذين كفروا للذين آمنوا أنطعم من لو يشاء الله أطعمه إن أنتم إلا في ضلال مبين. When they are told that those bounties which Allah Ta'ala Himself has blessed you with, those bounties which Allah Himself has blessed you with, that risk and sustenance which Allah Ta'ala has provided for you, whatever kind of risk and sustenance that may be, whether it is spiritual, whether it is material, but here it is referring to the material things, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who has provided for you from different sources, for somebody through his business, for somebody through his profession, for somebody through his farming, for somebody through other means. Now this what Allah Ta'ala has provided, Allah Ta'ala says when they are told, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهِ, that which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has provided for you as rizq, now from there you spend, give to the poor, give to the needy, give to the destitute, give to the orphans, give to those who are unable to maintain themselves, those people who are unable to stand on their own feet, those people who lack intelligence, they are insane, they are mad, they cannot earn a living, now spend in all these causes. So what do they say? They say that shall we spend on those people whom Allah Ta'ala had wished He would have given Himself? Say, why are you asking us to give to all these categories of people? By way of explanation, I'm giving you, not translating the ayat. That by way that all these categories of people that you want us to give to, why should we give to them when you are telling us that Allah is Razzaq? You are telling us that Allah is Razzaq, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings of Tawheed, and we believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the sustainer. He is the one who is the provider. He is the Razzaq. So he says, you are saying that Allah is the Razzaq, then why are you asking us to feed these people? Why are you asking us to distribute clothing, food, or why to provide shelter for these type of people? For if Allah Ta'ala is Razzaq, then He must provide it Himself, or He could have given to them plentiful. So do you want to make us Razzaq then? This they were saying by way of mockery and teasing. Whereas these stupid people did not understand that it was not making them Razzaq. Razzaq remains Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the provider. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has a system in this world that He gives to the rich so that they take care of the poor. He gives to the strong so that they may take care of the weak. And then again Allah Ta'ala has got a system that where people must become dependent on one another. If nobody is dependent on anyone, then nobody is going to work for anyone. But this world has to move on. So somebody will have to need the services of the other person. So the carpenter, there will be some person that is constructing a building, so he will look for a carpenter. He will look for an engineer. He will look for an architect. He will look for a plumber. He will look for an electrician. Now so many different people will get risk and sustenance because this one person who has got the money to build a house is going to put up a house. Or he's going to put up a shop, or he's going to put up some complex. Now because of that complex, which he is going to put up with the money that he has, so many others will be provided sustenance. Now if this person who has got the money and he wants to put up this complex, he himself is the engineer, he himself is the architect, he himself is the builder and the carpenter and the plumber and the engineer, then we know that it's not going to, the system of this universe is not going to work. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides sustenance to different people, and in that then there is a provision for others. But the provider is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In the same way, especially those people, and in these days we have plenty of them. We have plenty of families in which children are being born who are unfortunately not able to fend for themselves. There are many children who suffer from different syndromes and different sicknesses and diseases and problems. And the parents have to take care of them for a very long, long time. Sometimes 20 years of age and 30 years of age and even 45 and 50 years of age, I have seen with my own eye. The child is like a small 9-year-old child on the bed. Now at such a time, some people think that this is an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on them. It is not an azab for everyone. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala provides that sustenance. Allah Ta'ala gives that risk to those parents so that they may take care of this child. And in the taking care of that child, we don't know what rewards they get and what they will get in the hereafter. Provided, of course, they are also obedient to Allah Ta'ala in their own actions and deeds. But what I am saying is that Allah Ta'ala then provides to the strong so that he may take care of the weak. Allah Ta'ala gives to the rich so that he may take care of the poor. But the provider is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these kuffar, when they were told that provide or give from that which Allah Ta'ala has given to you, spend now, that they said, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ. Shall we feed those whom Allah Ta'ala had desired, he could have fed. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Nay, you are in manifest error, they say. Then how are you asking us to feed? So that is one part of it. Of course, there is much that we can discuss on this. It is a subject on its own. But I want to go on to the second part of this ayat then, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْوَعْدُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And they say that when will this promise come to pass if you are truthful? Now this was another ehtiraz, another objection of the kuffar, that whenever they were told that you must fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab coming, or there is a day of judgment, there is a day in which everybody will have to account for his deeds and actions, that there is life after death, that there is what we term in our common language as the day of doom, then these people used to say that this is something that we have been listening to for ages. Our grandfathers were told the same thing. Our great-grandfathers were told the same thing. So when will it come to pass? When will this promise of yours be fulfilled? If indeed you are truthful ones, then when will it come? We are hearing about it from such a long time. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, مَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً تَأْخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ تَوْصِيَةً وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ يَرْجِحُونَ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that what are these people just waiting for that single blast. It is referring to the sur which will be blown, and with that blast everybody will be blasted away from this earth, everybody will be dead. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that that is going to come, it's just one single blast. مَا يَنْزُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا تَأَخُذُهُمْ وَهُمْ يَخِسِّمُونَ, which will seize them while they will be still disputing. They will be still arguing amongst themselves whether the day of judgment will come or not come, whether they will be alive after death or not. And this single blast will seize them. And what will happen then? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that they will not be able to dispose of by will. That means they won't be able to make any wasiyat anymore. The person won't get an opportunity after that single blast to make any kind of wasiyat. And also they will not get an opportunity to return to their families. Now this is the point that I wish to emphasize again. That recently in Ramadan also, and very recently also, we have heard of people passing away, young age, suddenly, heart attacks, accidents, or they were caught up in some shooting, or they were in such places where there was some bomb blast and they disappeared, they passed away. Young people, healthy and fit people, and suddenly they left the world. So that qiyamah which these people used to dispute, and they used to keep on arguing about, and they used to keep on rejecting and keep on objecting and saying that if there is such a thing as day of judgment, then tell us when it is going to be. So here for the Muslim, we firmly believe that the day that the person dies, his qiyamah has already started. That qiyamah will come whenever it will come. Man mata qamat qiyamatuhu. The person who dies, his qiyamah has started. There is no doubt that many of them who died in this manner have become shaheed. But they leave lessons for us. Just yesterday or the day before, a young doctor in his 30s, and he was moving home, one load of goods was gone, and he was on his way with the second load or something of that nature, and on the road he gets a heart attack and he passes away. Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat, Allah Ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus, and it is a form of shahadat that he may have got. But what a lesson they leave behind for us, that how long are we going to remain disputing or doubting that when will that qiyamah come, because our grandfathers also heard of it and our great grandfathers heard of it. A doctor was travelling from Gauteng or the Transvaal with two children, and suddenly meets up with an accident and all of them are gone. And there are many cases like this which we heard. A person buys goods asar time from one of our prominent businessmen. He meets him and is happy and he shakes hands with him, and after that he leaves. And within 15 minutes time he hears that in an accident the person has passed away. Now are these not all eye-openers? Are they not eye-openers for us? Will we get a time then to dispose of our affairs by means of will? Will that person get some kind of pre-warning that your death is going to come on a certain day, so therefore you must put all matters right long before your death? Or will he have a time to then return to his family and inform them that these are the people whom I am owing monies to? So what is the message? The message is this, that each and every one of us have to stay ready. In these days there is no question of we will get ready. We have to be ready. In fact, so much so that I have no hesitation in even mentioning one thing which has been brought to my attention by those people who generally give ghusl to the deceased. And Sharia teaches us everything. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught the ummah everything, even how to use the toilet. So some of them have mentioned that there are many, many cases of Muslim men that we have transported, and it seemed that they had not removed their underarm hair or hair around the navels for many, many days, and suddenly their death came away. We have to even be ready with that. We have to keep our body clean also. We don't know when death will come away. And as far as monies are concerned, when there are amanats in our possession, we are owing people monies which nobody else is aware of except us, then at that time to keep us a list that these are the people from whom I have borrowed money. and make sure that upon my death, the first thing that is done is that these debts are paid. Because so many disputes arise after that. I said, that man is claiming 50,000 rands from my father, but I think he's pulling a fast one. He doesn't have any evidence. I know he was a friend of my father, but I think he's pulling a fast one. That's what one person actually told me. He says, I think he's pulling a fast one. I said, but how can you know, how can you say that he's pulling a fast one? Yes, of course, the onus will be on that person to produce evidence if the person demands it. But these are the disputes that then arise. There are so many amanats, so many trusts, properties and things in our control. So we have to be ever ready. I always say that we always talk about the ever ready battery. But these days we have to be ever ready. We have to have our will in place. Don't wait for the signing of that will and for the making of that will after our death. Everybody says, I will make a will. I will make a will. I want to make a will. When will we make that will? When it comes to our qazas, when it comes to our kafaras, when it comes to our other deaths, then we have got no record of it. So we must take lessons from all these things. And in this ayat, we should not think that this is only referring to the kuffar, so therefore why should we bother to listen to it? That those kuffar, what was their objection? That was their objection, that when will qiyamah come? When will qiyamah come? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells them it will be just one single blast. The person will fall dead. He will have no chance to stand up again. And he will have no time to return to his family. He will have no time left now to make any kind of will. So all of us, we have to take lessons from what is happening around us. We say we must take lessons from what is happening around. So this is the greatest lesson that we have to take. That we have to put our structures right. We have to put ourselves right. We have to give up those sins now, not tomorrow. For we do not know in what condition we are going to live this world. The person just cannot be content and satisfied with the lifestyle that he is leading and believe that everything is in order. He has to make an x-ray, he has to keep a check, he has to make sure that all his affairs are in order. If he's got dealings with people which are not right, then he has to put that right now. If he is not in talking terms with his parents, with his children, with his family members, then when is he going to do that? After the death of that person or after his death, when is he going to do it? What is he waiting for? So many people, they say that, no, I will put it right. I will put it right. When will we put it right? So before we have to cry lifelong, we rather put it right now. There are many brothers and sisters who are not in talking terms. Many parents and children who are not in talking terms. Many friends who have broken up relationship. Whatever is that issue, try and resolve it. But don't say that we will try and sort it out. We will try and put it right. Leave him, let him suffer for a few more days and let him realize the mistake he has made. And when he comes bowing down to me, then after that I will try and sort the problem. We do not know before him who goes away. Many people passed away long before that person bowed down and came. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the realization that life is temporary, and in these days there is just absolutely no certainty what can happen the next second. Wallah, when I leave home, I don't know whether I will reach the masjid, and when I leave the masjid, I don't know whether I will reach the madrasa, and when I leave the madrasa, I don't know whether I will reach town if I've got some work to do there. We just do not have that certainty. So therefore we must read the kalima, we must read some duas, we must ask Allah for forgiveness and then set out. And make sure that our amanats that we have got of anybody, there is a list of it. So that in the event of sudden death, then at least the person knows that these are the monies that were being owed by the deceased to so and so, so and so. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal on these beautiful verses of the Quran Sharif and the hadiths of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the trials, the problems and the hardships of the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.